our major teaching tonight by Father Rick. Hopefully you didn't change the subject. Well, here it says it's trusting God in seemingly hopeless situations. Father?
I was asked to talk about a little lighter subject today, hopelessness. I think that one of the things that we have to look at in our lives is about almost every song that we sing today, about where God is in our lives. There's always going to be things that happen that would reflect us in a hopeless situation. And they are terrible things to happen. Sometimes it's to other people, sometimes it's to those we love and care about, sometimes it's just some horrific story that we hear. And then sometimes it comes and hits us. It's something comes along, whatever it may be, an illness, a loss of a job, a home burns down, a child is sick unto death, whatever it is. People may want to pray about that and bring it before God, especially in a way of saying, you know, if it's a family member who's ill or somebody has experienced a reversal in their life and things are kind of in shambles. And we pray to God that He will come and kind of fix it, make things better. And we have confidence in God, but then sometimes that stuff doesn't work out. A child dies. The people who have a reversal are in despair, and maybe sometimes they take their own lives and things like that. And we kind of look at God and say, God, why didn't you do something? Why did you let this hopeless and seemingly impossible situation go to such extremes? It is not because God doesn't care. And it is not because God doesn't hear our prayers. What we have to remember, I think this is really important today in the gospel, strangely enough, Jesus, very short passage, was telling us we should not be worried in our world, but that if we follow Him, He will lead us in the right direction no matter what. And He says, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What He means by that is, if you know anything about primitive farming, they used to yoke animals, a lot of times two at a time, but they would have this huge, heavy wooden block of wood around their neck so that they could pull whatever it is that they wanted. Usually it's a plow, but they would have some of that for other carriages and things that carried big loads. These things were not light. These things weighed a ton. Be a big block of wood that they would carve out to fit over the ox so they could attach everything. It was not an easy task to pull these things, and that's why they used these oxen. But one of the things that they also did was to train the young ox to do the work. And they actually had training yokes. And the training yoke for the little one that walked with them just hooked them up to the other ox, the male or female ox that was full grown. And what they were doing is they were to go and learn the track of where they're supposed to go, how they are supposed to move, so that you didn't have somebody wild out there and uncontrollable and trying to get them. All they had to do was just walk with the older ox. There was no weight on it because it was all the weight was designed to rest on the full-grown master ox, if you want to call that. The little baby ox just kind of learned what to do so that as he grew up, he could take over and he wouldn't be any problem. And so Jesus is coming along and saying that the thing we have to learn to do is to always walk with God. And many times when we get into hopeless situations, our first thought is that, well, I guess God abandoned me. I don't know what I did wrong. He didn't answer my prayer, and this disaster just continued on. And we have to understand that I don't care who you are in this whole world, where you live, God is always with you. Even if you don't believe in Him, even if you don't know Him, even if you are some kind of tribal, old, hidden people that people don't even know about, but you're out there, God is with you. The reason we know that is because we're alive. And even when we die, God is still with us because He has to keep us in existence. When we feel like we are in a hopeless situation and God doesn't care, we are wrong. We have to understand that God knows our situation. He sometimes allows these things to happen because He has other things in mind that is going to be what He wants for us, whatever it might be. Now, you take some people that don't believe in God and they live their life in a treacherous way, whatever it might be. God hasn't abandoned them. But if they don't want Him, basically God says, hands off. If this is how this person wants to live, I will walk through them with every step of their day, but I'm not going to touch them because they don't want me to. They want to have whatever it is that they want. But God walks with us always with the understanding that just maybe one time, this person who wants nothing to do with God will say, I wonder if God really exists, or I wonder if I prayed God would do. Because God always wants to jump in and show people that He is real, and that He's alive, and that He cares. And we say, then why does He leave us hanging when we find ourselves in this hopeless situation? Sometimes it's hard for us to believe, but it's because God has something better for us. It may take a while, because we may be hurting very badly about a situation, but this is where walking with God every day with that yoke, following His path, will show us where He is taking us. And therefore, He's not against us praying about these things. He's not against us being sad about these things. This is part of our world, but He is coming along and saying, if you stick with me, you will see that as bad as you feel and bad as you experience this thing, it will not compare to what I am getting ready for you. And we have to believe that, so that as we live out our lives and disasters of all kinds happen, all you have to do is turn on television and there's a million things going on in the world, and many of them are very bad. And God has His hand on each one of those people because He wants to do what's best. The only thing that I can suggest when you feel that way is to get out the Gospels and read the story of Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. All along, Jesus has known that a cross awaits Him. But when the day comes and He has celebrated with His apostles, He hasn't told them what's going to happen. But He says, let's go out to the Garden of Gethsemane. I want to pray, and you please pray with me. Now, they didn't do a very good job of that, but that's their thing. But what happens with Jesus when He is out there? Now, this is the Son of God. The Father loves him with an infinite love, and he falls on his face and says, "Father, please let this chalice pass from me. I don't want to go through this. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to experience what's going to happen." And he felt such dread, it tells us that he sweat blood. He was so caught up in anxiety and fear that his blood vessels were breaking. Blood was pouring out his pores. But what does he say? "But not my will, your will be done." Somebody pointed out to me a rather interesting thing, that Jesus goes into this Garden of Gethsemane, and basically, and really just his life is being squeezed out of him with this blood coming out. The Garden of Gethsemane was an olive grove, and that's where they used to press the newly picked olives and squeezed the life out of them to get olive oil, because olive oil was very, very important to people at that time. It was used as a medicine. It was used in their cooking. It was used to strengthen people in weakness. They used to rub it on their bodies. Olive oil did, but what happened? Olives had to give their lifeblood that other people could live. Jesus goes to this Garden of Gethsemane, and the life is practically pressed out of him. But once he says, "Father, not mine, your will be done," what happens? He gets up, he goes to his apostles and says, "Guys, wake up. Let's go forth and meet our enemy." Angels came to support Jesus in the garden, to strengthen him, so that he would know that what he was going to do was going to be better, far, far better than not suffering. The same thing is true for us. Sometimes God gives us a thing that we think is going to destroy us, our own Garden of Gethsemane. And we may try to pray and say, "God," but sometimes you may say, "God, why aren't you listening? I've been a good person. I tried to do what you want, and I'm asking you one thing, and you don't do it." And we feel abandoned. We feel that God left us, that God doesn't care. And God is trying to hold on to us to say, "I've got something better for you." If we only learn how to walk with him. Because when we do, we'll find that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. That he will show us the way. Yes, there'll be pain, there'll be difficulty, there'll be problems. But if we hold on to the truth that God walks with us every day, every hour, every minute, and he knows what he is doing, and he knows we fail, and he knows that sometimes we get mad at him, but that's not the point. The point is that God loves us, and he is always working for what is best for us, even in the midst of hopeless situations. Because at the end, he says, "I have something better for you." But you have to go through this. And we go through it so that we can value and appreciate what he has done for us. In our lives, we'll probably go through many different kinds of things. You know? Sicknesses, reversals, dealing with people that try to stab us in the back. And we come along and we say, "God, where are you? I'm trying to be a good person." And we kind of want to con God and say, "Listen, I'm a good person. You ought to be a good God." You know? And we sometimes think that God is unfair, you know, because I do all this stuff and God kind of spits me out, and that's not the case. We have to understand that we cannot manipulate God. That is the biggest mistake that we will ever make. If we think that by doing something, God, we deserve God to do something for us. God has already done that when he died on the cross. There is nothing more God has to do for us. But he does, because he loves us. And sometimes he does put us through the cross. You know, look at the many martyrs that we have in the church. I'm sure that not every one of them were going, yippee-ki-yay. You know, I'm going to have my head cut off tomorrow. You know, I don't think that happened. But they prayed, and God gave them the strength to face that with courage. You know, I remember one of the things, I forget who the saint was, might have been St. Agnes. She was tried as a Christian. Her punishment was to be decapitated. The executioner was new, never did it before. They were allowed one whack. He raised the axe and screwed it up and only cut her head off halfway. She laid on the ground bleeding to death. The whole time she recited the psalms that she had remembered and put to memory until she died, until she bled to death. That's a raw deal, but it got her into heaven. Because in spite of everything, she understood taking the yoke of God will make whatever I face easy and not heavy. So whenever we look at a problem and a difficulty and we say, God, why don't you do something? He already has if we wait and listen. You know, I don't know if I mentioned this the other day, but the other day I was watching one of those televangelists. Browbeat God and he'll give you anything you want. That's what he was saying. Browbeat God and he will give you what you want. Well, that's not God. God will give you what he wants because it will be the thing that leads us to him. So, today we hear about the oxen and the yoke. Pay attention to that, because no matter what is going on in our lives, his yoke is easy, and ultimately his burden is easy.